Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And we are feeling quite patriotic and festive this morning. It's our 4th of July weekend and our special Good to Grow show, bringing you all of the information you need for your summertime and beyond. We always talk about great, wonderful time that summer comes. We have tomatoes that are fresh off the vine. We are certainly peaking in our tomato crops right now. We hope that you all have your recipes to make sure that either you use, preserve, or bake some tomato pie out there and enjoy the bounty of your harvest. And also, it's never too early to start thinking about a fall vegetable garden.
And you mean I don't plant it in the fall?
No, John. Now's the time we've got to start thinking about that. Right. So I always try to, you know, when I'm sharing information with people, I try to associate things with different holidays or things so people can remember. And it's really funny for people to start thinking about if they wanted to actually have some pumpkins this fall, they actually need to plant those at the beginning of July. So I said, if you want pumpkins for Halloween, you got to plant pumpkins 4th of July weekend. And it goes back to a really basic concept of gardening. When you have your seed catalogs, when you have your seed packets available, it always gives you days to harvest. And that means actually part germination, but it's also all when it sprouts. So kind of figure that into the equation of things that are going to sprout within 3-5 days, or sometimes they take longer, maybe up to 2 weeks. But you definitely need to make sure that you have ample time to be able to plant your seed and be able to harvest that plant in the correct season. So where are we at right now? Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, we're about 120 days out from our average frost date. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that if you look at your packets of pumpkins, they're going to usually give you between days to harvest from 90 to 110 days to harvest. So that's the reason why we really have to plan ahead and make sure we allocate space into our garden to be able to have enough time for that growth. And then as far as the harvest coming up as well. So living in the season, but also planning for the future.
Always, as a rule of thumb, I think of, you know, distinguishing cool season and warm season crops is that most of your warm season crops produce a fruit on above ground, and the cool seasons are usually root crops or leafy greens. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes if you're thinking about what to plant, you know, I want to plant a tomato in July. Well, you know, if you're doing it from seed, it's going to take a little while to get there, and about the time it starts to put tomatoes on, it probably freeze.
Right.
Because you're just out of sync.
Yeah. No, definitely. And we're not talking about fruit as far as sugar content. We're actually talking about the botanical definition of a fruit. So a tomato, a squash, eggplant, okra, those are going to be all fruits, botanically speaking. Definitely want to make sure that that's a really good point and a rule of thumb to think about, too. I don't ever plant for fall tomatoes only because it's kind of tricky. Because at the end of the season, when I'm looking to plant my fall garden, which is in late August and September, I'm ready for those tomatoes to be done with because I only have so much space to plant. So I need to make sure that I start exit strategy for those tomatoes so that I can have
enough
space.
You need to do a determinant variety.
Right.
So it all loads up and stops.
Oh, no.
And then you yank them out and put something else in.
Those are the cherry tomatoes and those Juliet tomatoes, the Roma, are the only ones my kids will eat. So those are ones I have to plant.
That's why they have grocery stores.
No. You can't go back to grocery stores after eating.
Yeah. That's that $64 tomato, remember?
Right. It's all about being in the garden, and we definitely know that we do have some challenges. It is still in the thick of summertime. Hopefully our monsoon season is going to start to kick in, and we'll get some relief with some added moisture. But there's a couple of insects that love to attack when the temperatures are hot and dry.
Right. Spider mites love hot and dry. And so if you have a shrub, you know, juniper, usually, or cedar, or cypress, one of those that's kind of near a street or a sidewalk or a parking lot, where it gets a lot of reflected heat, a lot of times those will be the first plants to take on a bunch of spider mites.
Right.
And they get damaged pretty quick.
And we definitely know that, like, Italian cypress are a really predominant sometimes they're considered a tree in our area, but depending on our surveys that we do. But they're definitely always almost planted in really small little wells or cutouts along the perimeter line of your property line of your neighbors. So, yeah, definitely. And they almost look like they have dust on them, even though it hasn't really been dusty or windy.
If you don't take care of it, it will, you know, kill the plant. They will reproduce so rapidly that they will eventually cover the entire plant with this dusty web, and then they suck out all the chlorophyll, all the green and everything, and then the plant dies.
And then that's right, exactly. And, you know, one way to be able to treat for this, because it's a mite, miticides are quite expensive, and they're not really available for the average homeowner. You need to either have a licensure to be able to purchase a really strong or effective miticide for your problem, for your spider mite issues. So the one key recommendation that we give to all homeowners is just to invest in a small little trigger, a spray that you can adapt to your garden hose and dial that over to the jet setting and be able to really give them that a real nice
blast
of water for that. Right. And you may not think it may be effective, but it really definitely is. It knocks that mite and it destroys those webs in them.
If you can do a good job blowing into the foliage where you kind of really wet it and knock the little insect off, wash them down onto the ground or whatever, that is the best thing to do to break it up. Now, if you're out, kind of sprinkling water in the garden there in the morning, and you just kind of remember to hit the evergreens every once in a while, that'll help keep a mite infestation from really getting going.
Right.
So sometimes just a light hosing down, just kind of wash it down. A lot of times you'll see all this brown dirt and everything comes out at the bottom because it has collected a lot of dirt over the last, couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And also for your mature cypress as well, those scale-like leaves in there could be, some dying or desiccating leaves on there, and it's kind of good to kind of clean those out as well. So you'll be doing a twofold remedy on there.
Yeah. Sometimes people call those sparrow hotels.
Oh, sparrow hotels.
Birds love them.
Well, there you go. Let's keep our sparrow hotels occupied and get that wildlife that we so desire out there.
The Italian cypress is a good water-efficient plant. It doesn't require a lot of water.
Yeah,
does real well. There's a lot of them in the El Paso area. But spider mites are the one thing that can knock them out. So you really got to. Got to do a good job keeping them watered and mite-free.
Right. There you go. We definitely also really enjoy getting your pictures and your questions through the help desk and through the website. And recently we got one of our local folks, that is local contributor or person that always asks a lot of questions, that we talked to, had some issues coming up with his rosemary bush, and he had lavender planted in the same area. And he was noticing some little white, milky deposits kind of going on his rosemary bush. Oh. And he was wondering about that. And for the sake of the matter, they look like, spit. So, that was...
What was that again?
Right, spit! And believe it or not, there's something called a spittle bug that has that almost
spittle. Has that
spittle attached to that. And it makes it very characteristic. And people, look at that and they think, oh, my goodness, something is infesting my rosemary plant. Another very popular, drought-tolerant, great plant for our landscapes. And he snapped a picture and sent it in. And we were able to tell him, it's all right. Don't worry about that.
It's common insect.
It's very common. People kind of are afraid of that. A lot of these shrubs are doing double duty. Rosemary's being used culinary in the kitchen, so they want to make sure, oh my goodness, what do I have? I don't want this to be destroyed, but then I also don't want to apply any kind of pesticides, which is a great way to be able to think. on?
Well, there's insecticides that you can use for spittle, but if it's on a culinary plant like a rosemary or something, just get that triggered thing on the end of the hose there and just give it a real, strong blast of water and blow that spittle off, and you may even blow the insect off.
Right.
Because it's kind of an aphid-like insect underneath all that spittle.
That's right, exactly. So, yeah, it's one of those things, leave it as be. You're going to bring it into the kitchen, then you can rinse it off even under the water of your faucet, of your kitchen sink. So definitely not an issue to be too concerned about. So that's really one of the really important ways for us to be able to communicate and to share, and we use a lot of different techniques to be able to get that information to you. But in this day and technology, we always recommend, sending those photos. We'd like to be able to help you answer those questions in a timely manner. But, use those phones that we all have and carry. It makes it quite easy for us to be able to not just upload and share or send those over, to be able to get a quick response.
Justifies having a phone, right?
It really does. It really does. Got to use those little computers for a good use. Yeah.
Getting those samples into, Texas AgriLife to the master gardeners, help get those things identified before they become a big problem.
You're exactly.
So again, pictures are great, especially if you'll make a real nice picture.
Mm-hmm.
I remember times we had somebody bring in one leaf and they go, my tree's sick.
Right.
We're going, okay.
Yeah.
Does every leaf on the tree look like this, or is it the only leaf?
Right.
If it's the only leaf, you just took care of the problem.
Exactly.
So it helps to kind of get a broad view of what's happening in that area so that you can kind of diagnose the problem correctly.
Right, most definitely. And that's really a conversation that we do have. Don't think that it's just submitting a question and you get a bounce back generic answer coming back to you. We actually have to do some more digging to see what's going on to be able to help you. And yeah, sometimes from the far it doesn't look like a bad problem, but if you of course get that one little 3-inch branch of your tree, you think it's just succumbed to death. But don't worry about that. The Master Gardener help desk is always available for you, and our help desk is housed at our Texas A&M AgriLife Extension County office located at Escarate Annex. The help desk is open weekdays, and the best way to reach them is by calling 771-2354. If you're tech and web-based and you'd like to visit us at our website at txmg.org/El Paso, we do have a link to be able to upload your photos and submit your questions and your preferred way to be reached and call back, either that's a phone or by email. So please make sure that you utilize those efforts. Don't forget to visit us on our social media sites. We do answer a lot of questions, believe it or not, through our Facebook page. Great way, easy way to upload and send photos. So make sure that you please continue to utilize all of those resources available to you in El Paso. We want to thank you for listening to today's show. We also want to thank Danny Gonzalez for engineering and producing our show this morning. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.